ॐ सदा शिव समारम्भाम् व्यास शंकर मध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शांति शांति शांतिः। इन दिस बृहदारण्यक उपनिषद In the first Kanda, there are two chapters. In those two chapters, first chapter presents Adhyaropaha, second chapter presents Apavadaha. The whole Prakriya, the method of superimposition and negation is presented in this first two chapters, which form the first Kanda, first section. And we are seeing, reminding you because you will forget where we are, because I am not doing exactly where we are, what we are doing. So in the first Kanda, the three Kandas, three sections, after each section called each Kanda, there are two chapters. And the first two chapters present this one method, the teaching methodology, method of the superimposition and negation. Ultimately, this method is to help us arrive at the truth, arrive at the reality implied by the term Brahma. And how superimposition is presented in the very first chapter itself, where everything is presented, there alone teaching also has to take place, isn't it? When should teaching take place? Adhyaropa itself, Adhyaropa is presented. That the universe is accepted as reality. What Adhyaropaha means? What is superimposition? Accepting the universe in keeping with our perception, in keeping with our experience, accepting the universe as reality, as real, is Adhyaropaha. And when can we accept the universe as the reality? Only when we do not know what the reality is. Naturally, we are born ignorant and we are ignorant of the reality. We are ignorant of our ignorance also. Now we are being exposed to the Shastra teaching. We are aware of our ignorance. But still, being ignorant of the reality, naturally, when we do not know what the reality is and whatever is available for experience is taken to be the reality. It's very natural. So once we wake up from sleep, what we experience is this universe. So, and there you see yourself as an individual different from the world. And you see the rest of the world being an object of your knowledge, experience. So, that naturally, once you wake up from sleep as I am waking up, and you have this what? Knower, known duality. I am this division. The divisions and differences are definitely there. This is our experience. How can we deny our experience? How can we say, no, there is no duality, there are no divisions, there are no differences. What is the only Brahma? We can never say that. Once you wake up, naturally, our experience is different, which is not unreal. Our experience is not unreal. Our perception is not unreal. It is not unreal. It is real. But how real it is, that's what we do not know. What we perceive is not unreal at all, but how real it is, that we do not know. We do not know what is absolutely real. Therefore, this universe is very much real for us. In keeping with our perception experience, when you accept the universe as reality, the Upanishad also accepts our understanding. Universe also says universe is real, then it is called Adhyaropaha, which means universe does not really say universe is real. Universe also says, yes, universe is real. Upanishad also says, universe is real. It is called Adhyaropaha. And in that Adhyaropaha topic, how this Upanishad presents the Adhyaropaha, the whole universe, not like other Upanishads. We talks about, first, the Upasanams. We saw Ashwabrahma Upasanam. Now, there are two Virad Upasanams. Hiranyagarbha Upasanam, Virad Upasanam, and upasana phalam. Doesn't matter which upasana you are, what meditation you are practicing. Ultimately, the highest result you can achieve, you can attain as a result of this upasana karma. Upasana is a manasam karma, mental activity, is brahmaloka praptihi. And we also understood how glorious the Hiranyagarbha is and what is brahmaloka prapti is. And even then, even brahmaloka praptihi, it involves such lot of efforts and difficulties and hardships, lot of hard work. It is not easily accomplishable. If at all we accomplish also, it is not actually moksha. That is how Upanishad makes us understand the limitations of karma and karma phalam. When Upanishad makes us understand the limitation of karma and karma phalam, does Upanishad belittle the karma? No. Karma is not degraded, karma is not belittled, karma is not looked down upon. Karma has its own importance, karma has its own role, karma has its own place. Karma is very, very important. But what Upanishad wants us to understand here is, karma, whether it is a physical activity, whether it is a oral activity, whether it is a mental activity, even meditation, any type of karma you do, when you say physical, oral, it includes our even religious activities. Not only mundane activities we perform are limited, have their own limitation. Not only the mundane activities, the activities we perform for earning our, for our livelihood. No, not only the mundane activities, even the so-called religious activities. So, we say laukikam karma, alaukikam vaidikam karma. Whether mundane activities or this religious activities, any activity in terms of performance of fire ritual or prayer or worship, japa, meditation, etc., all these activities also have their limitations, because any karma is dependent on its own accessories, karakani. And there is no way of performing an action, any action, small or big, without an accessory. Performance of action is dependent on its corresponding accessory. And all the accessories are time-bound in nature. Therefore, karma performed also naturally what? Time-bound in nature. Therefore, time-bound action cannot produce timeless moksha. And what we are aspiring for, knowingly or unknowingly, what we are actually searching, if you knowingly aspire for, you are aspiring for moksha, you are called mukshuhu jignyasuhu. Unknowingly you are aspiring for moksha means what? You are ajnani, but still you are aspiring for moksha only. Because what you want is happiness. Simple. If I use the word moksha, it will be very easy, isn't it? Happiness is very easy. What we are searching for is happiness. We want to be happy always. We want to be happy everywhere. We want to be happy with everybody. What we want is actually happiness. This is what we want. And that is what Shastram says, that the one thing you cannot attain. You cannot attain at all. That is why karma is always, karma means any activity, physical, oral, mental, any activity performed is for attaining something which we do not have now, which is relative. What I have now, if I already have something, or if I want to have more, means what? That more I don't have. There always karma is performed for what? For attaining what I do not have. And karma definitely we can attain, but what is attained as a result of karma will be time bound in nature. So what cannot be attained at all as a result of karma is happiness. That is what Shastra makes clear that karma is not useless, karma is not unwanted, karma is not belittled, karma is not looked down upon. We'll be very careful. Karma, Shastram says, we have to understand the limitation of karma. Why? So that we will discover this aspiration for really, moksha. We need to know the value of knowledge. Therefore, karma is, to make us understand the limitation of karma, this Upanishad also presents these three meditations and the results and the Hiranyagarbha's position and the Hiranyagarbha we saw in the previous some time back in the classes. Thereafter, Upanishad moves on to, we saw Upanishad also explained the Vidya Sutram. Before that, Anupravesha Shrutihi. How this, for us to be able to see that reality, Upanishad talks about the Srishti, the whole universe which we are seeing now, experiencing now, is actually has come into existence from the reality. Means, say, okay, Bhagavan has created the universe. Having created this universe, and what happened to Bhagavan? Bhagavan has entered into our own minds. Entered into our minds. Which means, there is no such a thing called Bhagavan entering into the mind. Bhagavan means, there is no Bhagavan other than the truth, reality for us. Which means, all the time, that truth from which the universe has come into existence is available for recognition in your own mind as very truth of I, in, as your own self. It is available. So, availability of the reality for recognition in our own mind alone is actually revealed by this Anupravesha Shruti, the very famous Shruti called the Anupravesha Shruti. We saw that also. Thereafter, we also saw Vidya Sutram. Vidya Sutram again is not actually the Mahavakyam, but the Vidya Sutram is a small brief statement which again reveals, emphasizes the same fact revealed by the Mahavakyam. It's a small Mahavakyam revealing the fact revealed by the Mahavakyam. It's called Vidya Sutram. We saw that also. Later on, we have moved on to the next mantra, that before entering there, and if we need to know that Brahma, what is that Brahma? What is that Brahma? So Brahma is a Shabdaha word which reveals the reality in terms of its nature of limitlessness. It is not first time you are listening. 1008 times, more than 1008 times you would have heard in every class. But I have to say today, as this is the first day of the Vedic academic year, doesn't matter, we have to say this. Brahma, Atma, all these words you know. So reality, ultimately what we need to discover is the reality. When you discover the reality, then we will say, in spite of experiencing the Jagat, in spite of perceiving the universe, in spite of experiencing the duality, plurality, divisions, we must be able to say also, what is there is actually Brahma, only Brahma. There is no second thing other than Brahma. All that is, there is only Brahma. That means, when you say all that is, there is only Brahma, what does it mean? There is no Jagat. You have to see the fact of what is, there is only Brahma, and to see, to resolve intellectually, cognitively, the Jagat in the Brahma. It's like saying, you must be experiencing the water, you must be enjoying seeing the water, and then you must be seeing the countless waves running here and there, moving around also, wavering. But still you can say what? What is, there is only water. When you say what is, there is only water, you are experiencing the divisions between waves, wave-wave division. You are seeing the wave-wave difference. You are seeing the wave-ocean difference. You are seeing, and you see, how there are the movement of waves also, motion on the part of the waves, but still you can say, what is, there is only water, in spite of seeing, which means you are seeing two facts, two things. You are seeing the water, the truth, you are also seeing the waves and name, waves and ocean. You are seeing the differences, you are seeing the divisions, you are seeing the movement, you are seeing the movement on the part of the waves. And you have to use one word called mithya. What is it mithya? What is the word mithya? Here, the form ocean which you are seeing, you are experiencing. You are all with me. Now we are all seeing the ocean. We are sitting in Binaji's house. But still we are visualizing ocean. Okay? There is an ocean. And we all should go to Kent one day. They must, old house near, somewhere nearby. To see that together, we are seeing the ocean, and we are seeing the waves, we are seeing the movement of the waves also in spite of that, we are also seeing this vastu called water. When you are saying, what do you say? Yes, this ocean form, the ocean which you are experiencing now, is not really there. It is as though I am seeing the form ocean, still it is as though there. When you say as though it is not really there, you call, give a name, mithya. It's not, you don't say, oh, there's no ocean at all, you don't say. There is ocean, I'm seeing. Still, it is as though there. It is as though, therefore it is mithya. Oh, I'm seeing the wave form, not one wave, so many waves I see. Not even one I see, I see so many waves I see. I can't even count how they come and go. Very quickly they come and go, make a lot of noise. I see the waves. Still all these waves are, each and every wave is as though. It's only a form which is as though. I'm not saying it is not there at all. It is there. I'm experiencing, I'm seeing it. It is as though. You call it what? Mithya. Okay? Oh, there's a difference between this wave and that wave. One came before, one comes afterwards. Some come together, some go together. So the difference is there. The difference between each and every wave, whatever the difference, I'm experiencing the difference. Yes, difference is also as though. So form of ocean, wave form ocean, wave form, then the difference between the forms I experience, which is mithya. These waves are so many, they're countable. So many, plurality. I'm experiencing. Okay, therefore what? As though. The wave ocean difference is what? As though. Wave difference is what? As though. Many. As though. The division between wave and ocean, duality. The division between waves, plurality. Okay, so all what? Mithya. Everything I'm experiencing, still mithya. Why? It is, they're all as though. Why do you say as though? They're not really there. Because all this, one more thing you have to say finally, the movement on the part of the waves, the noise caused by the act of moving also. So much of noise is, you know, caused by the wave movement. That noise is also what? Mithya. What about the movement, motion? Mithya. No, we see the moving here and there. Come on, let them, all the movement take place. Where does this movement take place? Does it take place outside of the ocean? No, it's all within the ocean only takes place. The very ocean itself is form which is mithya. The name wave form is mithya. The divisions are mithya. Differences are mithya. How can the moment alone be satyam? Moment is also mithya. Something called a moment will be impossible. The form itself is not there. Isn't it? Moment, I want to come to action, okay? It's also mithya. If everything is mithya means, for all mithya to be there, mithya is not unreal. Mithya is not tucham. For this mithya to be there must be what? Satyam. How can there be mithya without the satyam? And satyam is what we are missing. We do not know. That satyam, with reference to this mithya form, name and function called ocean, waves, movement, you know, noise, etc. For all of the reference to that ocean, satyam is water. Once you see the water, it's here, both are objects of knowledge. When your attention is shifted from the forms to the water satyam, from the standpoint of the water, the standpoint of the water which is very clear for you, you have to see from which standpoint is very important. Which standpoint you can say ocean is mithya. You can't say seeing only the ocean is mithya. No. Seeing only the ocean, if you say ocean is mithya, you are simply saying it is not clear vision. You must see the water being there. You must see the water being the satyam. How to say Satyam? Water is not dependent on ocean at all for its existence. Water can be without being an ocean. Water can be without being waves. Water can be without being the movement of the waves. Water just can be. Water is not dependent on these forms, names and function called ocean for its existence. It means water is independent of the form, name and function called ocean and waves for its existence. Whereas this form, name and function called ocean, all the waves and movement, etc., cannot exist independently without the substance called water. So, now we can say, therefore, water can be without being the ocean, but ocean cannot be without the water. It's a very kindergarten example, kindergarten lesson today. But still, I make you see, you cannot say ocean is mithya unless and until you see water being the satyam. And I want to, that's why very difficult for people when they say the world is jagat is mithya means. Very difficult. What do you mean by saying mithya? So what? If mithya, world is mithya, so what? So what? You must be free. It's not simply mechanically saying the world is mithya. If you simply say world is mithya, what is the benefit? In what way does it help me? What do I gain by it? What do I benefit from it? Swamiji always asks, let the whole world be, so somebody is Mahatma, somebody is that, this. Let anybody be anything. What is there for me? Ask the question. Be intelligently selfish. What is there for me? What do I gain by it? We can respect anybody. There is no need for us to disrespect anybody. What is there for me? So, what is there? So, you can benefit. So, not simply to say mithya, world is mithya. That's why I want you to understand here. We can say the ocean is mithya only when you see the water being the satyam. And only from the standpoint of the water you can say the ocean is mithya. Similarly here, how clear it is for you. And first you use this term satyam and mithya. Later on, you don't even use satyam and mithya. You just say what is only water. No, if at all you want to, how can I account for this ocean? I'm experiencing. So it's a mithya. The water is in the form of ocean, the mithya. Water is, satyam is in the form of mithya. Which is what is countable is, what is there is only one thing, that is water. There's no second thing. Listen, there's no second thing other than the water with reference to ocean, which is countable. For you to say, no, I see water and the ocean, for you to use this expression and, there must be countable. Can you count the wave, ocean? No. Ocean cannot be counted as second parallel reality. Waves cannot be counted as second parallel reality. No wave can be counted as a parallel reality because wave and ocean can be counted as a parallel reality only if they enjoy independent existence. Without the water, if they can be, they can be counted. Therefore, wave and ocean cannot be counted. So, what is only water? The second thing other than the water. And it's called for Ekam Advitiyam. Advitiyam means secondless. Now we say, what about the form ocean? Are they two? Water also I'm experiencing, I'm seeing. Wave, ocean full of waves also I'm seeing. Are they one? No. They are not one. Why? Water is not the waves and ocean. But what is only water, therefore ekam. Then there is a second thing other than the water, isn't it? Advitiyam. Third I say, can we say they are one then? No, they are not one. Are they two then? No, they are not two. Why they are not one? Because water is not the waves in the ocean. Ocean full of waves. But ocean full of waves is nothing but water. Therefore, we say what? They are not two. They are not one. Why they are not one? Because ocean, water is not the ocean. Therefore, they are not one. But ocean is nothing but water. Therefore, they are not two. Is it clear? That's why we say the two different, two orders of the only reality, Satyam and Mithya. Therefore, we say what? Advitiyam, Advayam. Is it clear now? Why Advayam? If you say they are one, they are not one, because one is Satyam, one is Mithya. So, Satyam and Mithya, two different, two orders of the only reality. Satyam is not Mithya, isn't it? But Mithya is Satyam. Therefore, they are not one. One is Satyam, one is Mithya. They are not one. So, they are not two also, because Mithya has no independent existence. Therefore, not countable as a second thing. Therefore, we say what? Advayam, non-dual. Non-dual means what? Dvaya means two, isn't it? Advaya means non-dual. Non-dual means what? Not two. So, ekam, advitiyam, advayam, brahma. Is it clear now? Similarly, now Upanishad has the greatest response you have made is understand this fact. Now, this world of plurality, example, ocean, water example is very, very easy. Easiest example, you understood how water is ekam, advitiyam, advayam, three words. Now we say, this whole jagat here, we are all like each one small tiny wave in a huge world of ocean, full of waves, isn't it? Like a tiny little wave, each one of us. And where are we? We are part of this whole jagat. It's like one small wave. Being part of the ocean, trying to understand what is the truth of this whole ocean. Exactly like that. So, you know, we are part of this whole jagat here. And we, as a human being, when you are up and you see the divisions, you see this division, knower known duality, subject-object duality, individual total duality, divisions. And you see individual, not only individual, we have so many bedha, sajatiya bedha, vijatiya bedha, swagata bedha. So many differences we see. And for us, and we so much, we get caught up in these what objects of experience and enjoyment. For us, this world, how can we say the world is unreal? No, the world is not at all unreal. The world is not unreal because we are experiencing, we are enjoying. Not only that, and there, our own thoughts and how we perceive things and our experience of pains and pleasures, our pain, our pleasure, our joy, our all our emotions, fear, anxiety, these are all part of the subtle factors, phenomena, part of this form, which form, part of the universe. And every tiny mind has its own lots of emotions, isn't it? All of them form all our experiences, not only the experienced external world of objects, even the experiences obtaining in them of three states of mind, leave the dream and leave the deep sleep state, the waking state of experience. All objects of experience are innumerable and countless and formless. Now, so we can't say the world is unreal. The world is definitely not unreal, but it is not as real as we think. And for this world is, Upanishad says, how clear when you are seeing the ocean is mithya, wave is mithya, all the waves are mithya, plurality is mithya, duality is mithya, difference is mithya, divisions are mithya, noise caused by them is mithya, and the movement is also mithya, how clear you are, because you see the one thing called water. And with reference to the whole jagat, all our experiences are mithya. The experienced objects are mithya. The forms are mithya, names are mithya, functions are mithya, activities are mithya, the karmani are mithya, karma phalani are mithya, the laws which govern the determined results of actions which form part of this jagat are mithya, everything is, the whole jagat is mithya, and which wherein you have to include our own dear physical body, even though we go to spa to take care of it, still this body is mithya, this sense organs are mithya, our physiological functions are mithya, our mind is mithya, our thoughts are mithya, even the knowledge I am obtaining in the thought which rises and dissolves is also mithya. The knowledge of existence of one's own self, obtaining a thought in terms of I am, is also mithya. Because only when that thought comes, waking state, that is when the jagat shines. That one thought resolves, all the thoughts resolve, the whole mind is non-functional, inactive means, you don't even know something called mind exists. Because you do not know you yourself exist. The world doesn't exist. Then you have what? Non-dual experience. Isn't it? Last class, whole class was for that. I think I have a Sunday class recording. I have given to Radhaji. She will put it up on the website. You can listen to that also. Sunday class, I think I did much better job. Saturday class, also I did well, because I took a lot of time to make you understand what is non-dual experience. So, non-dual experience, then experience of duality. Isn't it? So, dvaita anubhavaha, advaita anubhavaha, we always have. Fall asleep, advaita anubhavaha, go above, leave physical body, go again, advaita anubhavaha, and the whole jagat resolves, as said in Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. Once after four yugas, the whole jagat becomes dissolved. Even then, advaita anubhavaha we have. Once you wake up, you have dvaita anubhavaha. Having this both the anubhavas, advaita anubhavaha and dvaita anubhavaha, who is the one who has anubhava? Who has dvaita anubhavaha and advaita anubhavaha? Who has? This is somebody having the experience here, okay? Who is that? What is that which alone is in the form of advaita anubhava and dvaita anubhava? Who is in the form of all the anubhavas? Dvaita anubhava, advaita anubhava, all the experiences are what? Like the waves only. Experiences come and resolve. But what is that because of which experience, something called experience, is possible? That is the truth. That is the reality, which is source of experiences, source of knowledge. Is the abstract reality implied by the term Brahma, Atma. So we have to say, we should claim, oh, aham Brahma asmi. I am that Brahman. We should be able to claim that. And when I say aham Brahma asmi, you are not Brahman. I can't say that. Then that means what? There is no jnanam, okay? I have some different treatment. Aham Brahma asmi, you are not, means a problem. Aham Brahma asmi, if I can claim, I should see what is only Brahma. All that is, there is only Brahma. Sarvam kalvidam Brahma. That must become very clear, isn't it? Aham Brahma asmi must be clear. Idam sarvam Brahma, kalvidam Brahma must be very clear. Then aham idam sarvam will be clear. From which standpoint? From the standpoint of the reality, you can say aham idam sarvam. Sarvam kalvidam Brahma. The standpoint of the water, you can say all that is there is only water. The standpoint of the wave form, you can't say. Isn't it? Therefore, here also, this is Brahma, and that Brahma, aham asmi, is something we have to understand. That is the actual following. The Maha Vakyam is going to come, and the next class will be the unfoldment of the Maha Vakyam. Okay? We'll see. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Sri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.